There's nothing extreme about that. We just simply want to work, we want to live, and we want to have a dignified life like anyone else deserves. So we're seeing resistance right now from the people in Gaza resisting and fighting for their lives to us right here on our own historic homeland, our indigenous land here. We're fighting for our lives as well. And we're going to continue to do so, whether it's the police, the National Guard. You know, we don't want violence. We don't want violence. But we also aren't going to sit by and see our people be kidnapped and see our community be attacked by any federal agency or local law enforcement. We won't do it.
Ron, what's happening to those who've been detained? Angelica Salas, the executive director of the immigrant rights group CHRLA, said lawyers don't have access to people detained Friday. Have they been released? What's their status? And do you know about the status of David Huerta, the head of SEIU, the Service Employees International Union? We heard he was sent to the hospital with injuries and he's been detained.
Yeah, what we know right now is there is no due process for the majority of the people. People who get detained, we have reports and we have confirmed reports that people who get picked up in the morning in Los Angeles by the same day in the evening are already in Mexico City. That is confirmed. You cannot have due process in less than 24 hours. It's absolutely impossible. And so people are just being shipped immediately, across the border and to many places. We have confirmed cases of Mexican citizens, Mexican nationals who have been deported to Guatemala and dumped into Guatemala, a country that they have never been to and don't belong in. And so that's what's happening on the ground here in Los Angeles. Yesterday or Saturday, I don't know, today, it's just been one long day of resistance for us. But, elected officials have gone to the detention center where hundreds of our people are being kept, and they demanded to be allowed to enter so that they can view the conditions that the people are living in. Places like these are basements that have no restrooms, they have no sanitary conditions for the people. There's not enough food and water for the people. Those are the reports that we're getting. They were denied entry. They were not allowed to see inside to see how these people are being treated. So it's a real crisis right now for our community, and that's why we don't want to wait until our people are kidnapped and taken into detention to take action. That's why we do community patrols every day in the morning around our communities to try to prevent our people from being kidnapped. And when we say kidnapped, well, that is the exact word that we need to use, because the state is using brutal violence to separate us, to take us against our will from our families, from our homes, from our jobs, and to take us somewhere else. So that by definition is a kidnapping. And that's what we're fighting against, because we know that our people are not going to, they're not going to have due process. If lawyers and elected officials aren't being allowed to enter detention facilities to see their conditions that the people are living in, what makes us think that the people inside are going to have any type of human rights? We know that it's not happening.
And Ron, I wanted to ask you about President Trump's calling in of the National Guard, the use of flashbang grenades, of rubber bullets, of tear gas against the protesters. A reminder that back on January 6th, when a mob stormed the Capitol and tried to prevent the certification of election, there was no use of flashbang grenades or of tear gas or of rubber bullets against that mob. And yet here, it has been used, and the president is claiming there's an insurrection.
Yeah, we know that the violence is going to be against us, against our community. And, sometimes people think, it's not that bad. It's just a little bit of tear gas. No, we've seen people be seriously injured. On Saturday in Compton, California, when we were there on the front lines of the resistance against the sheriffs and against the Border Patrol, we saw a guy standing in front of us who got hit in the face with I don't know if it was a rubber bullet or what it was, but his face was completely split open and he was just gushing blood everywhere. These things can be lethal. If these rubber bullets hit you in the eye, if they hit you in the right place, they can absolutely be lethal. And so we understand that the violence is being used against us. It is lethal. We understand that the violence is being used against us on a daily basis, whether it's by the Border Patrol or the police. It's violence against the community. And so we have every right to defend ourselves by any means necessary, because that is the livelihood, the well-being of our families is what's at stake. Children have been gassed fast here in Los Angeles. And so whether it's the National Guard, whether it's the local police, we have to resist this, because in Los Angeles, we clearly understand what's happening. The Trump administration is trying to make an example of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is the heart of the Mexican and Central American community here in the United States. And so they think that if they can break us, they can break anyone in the country. And so we understand that. And that's what we know. We cannot afford to fail. The resistance will continue. Whether they keep threatening us or not, we will continue. We will be peaceful every time that we can. But if we face violence, that where we have to defend ourselves, we have every human right to do so as well.
Ron Goetschers, I want to thank you for being with us. High school history teacher, community organizer with the group Unión del Barrio, organizer of a number of the protests that have taken place in Los Angeles. When we come back, this marks the first time in like 60 years a president has deployed the National Guard without a governor's request. We'll speak with a lawyer at the Brennan Center. Stay with us.
A un amigo mío en la calle cerca de aquí lo dejaron abandonado, un objeto sin vida junto a la esquina. Yo no entiendo por qué los que deben proteger hacen lo opuesto.
Lahora, The Oath by Chicano Batman, performing in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We look more now at how President Trump's deployed the California National Guard to Los Angeles in defiance of local and state officials after protests erupted in response to ICE conducting military-style raids in and around the city. This marks the first time in some 60 years a president's deployed the National Guard without a governor's request. Meanwhile, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has threatened to deploy 500 active-duty Marines at Camp Pendleton. California's Governor Gavin Newsom responded on X, quote, "The Secretary of Defense is now threatening to deploy active-duty Marines on American soil against its own citizens. This is deranged behavior," the governor wrote. Trump warned Sunday this could be just the beginning of deploying troops into U.S. streets. Is all of this a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act? That's the question of lawyer Elizabeth Goteen, who is the co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. Elizabeth Goteen, thanks so much for joining us again on Democracy Now! You wrote this piece in May. You warned about the possibility of the National Guard being called up to patrol the streets. And let's be clear, not just of L.A., the memo that President Trump has used to deploy the National Guard and then possibly the Marines in L.A. does not mention Los Angeles, which means it could be across the country. Explain the legality of all of this.
Well, that's a tough order. The Posse Comitatus Act ordinarily prohibits federal armed forces, and that includes the federalized National Guard, from participating directly in law enforcement activities, which includes activities involved in quelling civil unrest, unless Congress has expressly authorized it. Now, under the Insurrection Act, that is an authorization, a broad authorization, for the president to deploy troops to quell civil unrest or to enforce the law in a crisis. But as broad as that law is, the Department of Justice has historically interpreted it much more narrowly in keeping with the Constitution and tradition. And basically, the rule is that the military should not be deployed except as an absolute last resort in situations where state and local officials are either just completely overwhelmed and ask for help, or the state and local officials are sitting back and doing nothing and sort of letting the problems unfold, which is pretty much what happened during the civil rights era. Now, President Trump hasn't even invoked the Insurrection Act, which is this exception to the Posse Comitatus Act. He is using an obscure law in a way that it has never been used before. It is questionable whether this law constitutes a sort of an independent waiver of the Posse Comitatus Act. He is also relying on a claim of inherent constitutional authority to deploy troops to protect federal personnel and property and functions. This is an executive branch claim that's been made for decades, but in the sort of robust form that this claim is being made now, it has not been tested by the courts. So there are definitely legal questions, and at bottom, under any law or any legal theory, it is not appropriate to authorize the deployment of federal troops anywhere in the country where there is either a protest against ICE activity happening, whether or not there's any violence involved, or where a protest is likely to occur. In other words, the protest isn't even happening, let alone have reached a point where it's overwhelming state and local authorities. And that's what this order purports to do. This is absolutely unprecedented. It's extremely dangerous. And again, it would be an abuse of any law that the president was relying on.
Well, Elizabeth, you mentioned during the civil rights era, there were numerous or several instances of National Guard or U.S. military being called into the South in Little Rock in 1958, in 1962, in the rioting against the admission of James Meredith to the University of Mississippi, and again in 1965 in Alabama. What were the reasons then that the federal government used?
Right. In those situations, the state or local authorities, in some cases, they were the problem, such as in Little Rock, Arkansas, where the governor basically said the Arkansas National Guard is not going to let this happen. They are going to block the desegregation of schools in Little Rock, despite the fact that there was a federal court order requiring desegregation. So in some cases, it was literally the case that the state and local authorities were causing the problem, and they were rebelling against the authority of the United States. What President Eisenhower did in 1957 was that he federalized the Arkansas National Guard and then ordered them to stand down and sent active duty armed troops into Little Rock to enforce the desegregation order. And then in other cases, there were people exercising their civil rights, marchers, protesters who were being threatened by white mobs and attacked by white mobs who opposed their civil rights, and the state and local authorities would do nothing to protect them. And in fact, we're standing shoulder by shoulder with the white mobs. And those are the kinds of instances where deploying the military, especially back then, when federal law enforcement did not have the same capacity that it does today. And so deploying the military was not only appropriate, but necessary in those cases.
And I wanted to ask you, what are the powers of Governor Newsom to stop this or to object to what is going on?
Well, it's important that he object, and he has been objecting. He's not only been saying, this is unlawful, but he has also, in so many words, but he has also been saying, this is dangerous. This is going to be inflammatory. It's going to escalate tensions rather than de-escalating them. We want safety for everyone in this scenario. We want peace and we want calm. And frankly, before the National Guard arrived, things had really settled down and things were peaceful. They were stable. And the governor said, if you deploy the National Guard, it's going to be very incendiary and things are going to erupt. And that creates a public safety problem. And we are seeing that. I mean, that is exactly what has happened. I mean, one of the reasons why we don't have the military enforcing the law and serving as domestic police in this country is because it's not their job. It's not their training. Our military is the best fighting force in the world, and they are trained to fight and destroy an enemy. They are not trained, and within the National Guard, most of them are not trained. They don't have this extensive training that police officers have in exactly this endeavor, which is to handle civil unrest with civilian populations in a manner that respects constitutional rights. And in a manner that, is going to de-escalate rather than make things worse. Now, I'm not going to say that it happens perfectly and that the police, are always, acting as a model of this. But when you introduce soldiers into the equation with their very, very different training and mission, then it really does increase the risks, not only to the civilians, but actually to the soldiers themselves. So that is still another reason why we don't have soldiers rather than just defending and protecting the United States against, hostile, foreign powers, turning their power against people inside this country.
Very quickly, Elizabeth, we just have a minute. Our previous guest, Ron Gocha, said that the Governor Newsom, could tell the National Guard to stand down? That's my first question. Number two, Homans has threatened to have both Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, and the governor arrested. And the governor said, go right ahead. Your response to both?
It's such a shame that we are in this situation where we have to have comments like this. I think unfortunately, I'm afraid that what we are likely to see is a continuing sort of escalation of the situation. But I think there are legal remedies here. As I said, there are very serious legal questions about the president's memorandum. And it is possible for people who have been, directly harmed by this and also for states that are in this position to bring legal challenges. And hopefully something like that can maybe bring an end to what we are seeing.
And we thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're extremely busy at this moment as you take on the question of, is this a violation when they talk about calling out the Marines, when they deploy the National Guard to the Posse Comitatus Act? Elizabeth Goitein is co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. Next up, the Israeli Navy commandos have intercepted a humanitarian aid flotilla making its way to Gaza on board, among others, Greta Thunberg. Stay with us. Brazilian activist Thiago Avila on board the Freedom Flotilla coalition boat. That's the name, Madeline. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Human rights groups around the world are condemning Israel's attack on the Freedom Flotilla ship called the Madeline. They're saying it's a war crime. The ship was sailing to Gaza with vital humanitarian aid for Palestinians who are being starved by Israel's strict blockade since early March, with 11 activists and one journalist on board. Israeli soldiers in the early hours of Monday, they have not, the activists, been heard of or located since. Those detained include the renowned Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg, Thiago Avila, who we just heard from Brazil, Yasmin Achar from Germany. She was scheduled to join us on today's broadcast before she and the rest of the group were forcibly taken by the Israeli Navy. Israeli forces intercepted the flotilla on international waters at approximately 3 this morning, some 110 nautical miles from Gaza. This is Brazilian activist Thiago Avila describing the moments before Israeli forces boarded the ship.
Everyone, we are under attack. Please sound the alarm. They are throwing a lot of substances and objects on us. Quadcopters, the most dangerous ones. Right now, they are jamming our comms. They are saying random stuff just to jam our communication. They're doing this so that we cannot get help.
And this is an Israeli soldier ordering the ship to stop sailing toward Gaza.
The maritime zone of the coast of Gaza is close to naval traffic, as part of a legal naval blockade. If you wish to deliver humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip, you are able to do so through the port of Ashdod via the established channels and distribution centers.
Israeli quadcopters intercepted and attacked the group of activists spraying a white chemical-like substance on the ship, the activists said, which hurt their eyes. Signals were jammed. Disturbing audio was broadcast to interfere with communication over the radio system. Israeli soldiers on speedboats then boarded the Madeleine. Israeli soldiers are also heard on video footage demanding the crew throw their mobile phones into the sea. The unarmed activists were then detained by Israeli forces. The Madeleine, the ship, seized. The ship's humanitarian aid, including baby formula, food, medical supplies, have been confiscated. The group of activists who'd been at sea for over a week since departing from Sicily on June 1st, shared these pre-recorded messages after Israel's attack.
My name is Baptiste André from France. If you are seeing this video, we have been intercepted at sea and I've been kidnapped by the Israeli occupation forces, of country complicit in the Israel genocide of Palestinians. I appeal to my own comrades, friends, family to put pressure on the French government to demand my release as soon as possible.
My name is Greta Thunberg and I am from Sweden. If you see this video, we have been intercepted and kidnapped in international waters by the Israeli occupational forces or forces that support Israel. I urge all my friends, family and comrades to put pressure on the Swedish government to release me and the others as soon as possible.
My name is Mark Rennes.
And I come from the Netherlands. If you see this video, we have been abducted in international waters by the Israeli occupation army or by an army helping Israel commit genocide against the Palestinian people. I call on the Dutch government to push for my release and that of all other peaceful activists.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Pascal Morieras.
Hello, my name is Pascal Raymond Morieras. I'm French. If you are seeing this video, it means we have been intercepted by the Israeli army or one of their complicit allies.
Ou par une armée complice du génocide actuellement perpétré.
Of the ongoing genocide in Gaza.
Aussi, je demande à tous mes camarades.
I'm requesting my comrades, family, and friends ensure that the French government intervenes with the Israeli authorities, demanding my release from prison as soon as possible.
So my name is Reva Sefervia. I'm from France. If you see this video, it means that we got intercepted by the Israeli forces or complicits, and we may be in a very bad situation now. So I do ask our comrades, to our family, friends, to please share this video and put pressure on the French government so that we could be with my friends released, and also, of course, that this genocide ends.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rima Hassan. I'm French-Palestinian, aboard the humanitarian vessel going to Gaza. If you're seeing this video now, it's because we've been stopped by the Israeli army or their complicit allies. We count on your mobilization to put pressure on the French government to demand our release.
Okay, my name is Sergio Toribio from Spain. If you are seeing this video, we have been intercepted at sea and I have been kidnapped by Israeli occupation forces or force of a country complete in Israel genocide of Palestinians. I appeal to all my comrades, friends, family to put pressure on the Spain government to demand my release as soon as possible.
My name is Hüseyin Şuayb Ordu from Turkey. If you are seeing this video, it means that we have been intercepted at sea and I have been kidnapped by IOHF. I appeal to all my comrades, friends, family to put pressure on the Turkish government. Government to demand my release as soon as possible.
Hi everyone, I'm Thiago Avila. I'm a Brazilian citizen, member of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. And if you're watching this video, it means that I've been detained or kidnapped by Israel or another complicit force around the Mediterranean on our way to Gaza to break the siege And in this case, I urge you to pressure my government and my comrades' governments for us to be released out of prison and for to break relations with Israel, to end the genocide and end the siege that Israel is putting the Palestinian people on. We count on you right now.
My name is Yasim Najad, and I'm from Germany. If you're seeing this video, we have been intercepted at sea and kidnapped by the Israeli occupation forces or by one of its allies, complicit and actively participating in the genocide of Palestinians. I appeal to my comrades, friends, and family to put pressure on the German government and to ask for my release as soon as possible.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Yanis Hamdi.
Hello, my name is Yanis Hamdi, a journalist from Blast Media. And if you're seeing this video, I've been detained by the Israeli forces while performing my role as a journalist. I therefore ask my colleagues and the French government to expedite my release and to return my camera equipment.
The journalists and activists are being transported to Israel's port city of Ashdod, where it's believed they'll be taken to an Israeli prison. Al Jazeera is reporting Israel's far-right National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir has instructed prison authorities to prepare separate cells for the activists from the Madleen ship at Givon prison in Ramla, where they will be held before being deported, unquote. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition had initially planned to sail from Malta last month, but the group's ship was damaged in a drone strike that left four volunteers injured. For more, we go to Anne Wright for an update, senior member of the Gaza Flotilla Steering Committee in close contact with the Madeleine. She herself was part of four Gaza Freedom Flotillas, twice imprisoned by the Israeli military. She's a 29-year U.S. Army, Army Reserves veteran who retired as a colonel, is a former U.S. diplomat who resigned in March 2003 in opposition to the war in Iraq. And thanks so much for being with us. We only have 2 minutes. Can you give us the latest update? We watched those videos. They said, if you're seeing this video, we have been taken.
Well, thank you so much. And for playing all of those videos of the brave, courageous 12 that were on that ship. They were taken from the Madeleine, put on a Navy ship within 30 minutes after the Israeli Navy stopping them. They're still on that ship, as far as we know. They should be arriving probably within the hour into the port of Ashdod. And we're getting information from the immigration authority there that they may be deported immediately rather than going into the prison. That's something our lawyers, Adala, who are Palestinian lawyers that are in Palestine 48, that are confirming with us. So it may be that some of them don't go to Givon prison. We thank everyone for their support. There are other things that are happening in the region, the global march to Cairo, the Tunis Samud March. There are so many things people can do to keep Gaza and the West Bank in their mind. You can have your own Gaza Freedom Flotilla in any water that's close to your house and put a little Palestinian flag on a boat in the mud puddle even. It's solidarity that we need right now for the people of Gaza, and we will be sending more boats in the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, and very, very soon. So thank you all for the support, and let's make sure this genocide and ethnic cleansing that the Israelis are doing in Gaza and the West Bank ends now. Pressure on our governments, whether they be the U.S., French, German, Sweden, Brazil, Turkey, Spain, the Netherlands, that were on that boat, and we will have a U.S. citizen on this next boat.
And we just have a few seconds, but the Turkish government, immediately the foreign ministry declared Israel a terror state and demanded the freedom of its two nationals that were on this boat. What about other governments?
Well, the other governments have been silent so far, but that's where citizen pressure comes in. So call the foreign ministries of all of those countries and put pressure on them. And put, don't forget the old United States of America, the most complicit country in the genocide of Gaza. So it's up to us as citizens to keep the pressure on. We've got citizens that are out in front of the United Nations every day on the hunger strike, and they're going to be going to the national missions of each of those countries that have citizens on the Madeleine.
We want to thank you, Colonel Anne Wright. She is a senior member of the Gaza Flotilla Steering Committee in close contact with the Madeleine volunteers. That does it for our show. She's wearing a T-shirt that says Break the Siege. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canada Land, Canada's only media criticism program.
Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.
Hey, do you want to make a real impact in the Black community? Join us where we connect you with Black-led organizations from all around the world. Get ready to get involved. Find the organization based on the location of interest. Follow us at supportblackcharities.org.